Well, up to the bracha of Zaykev Kefufim. The bracha is a bracha of where Hashem is Zaykev. He makes upright Kefufim bent, one to bend over. A kuf of its own to bend over. Very meaningful bracha to me as my father was a chiropractor. That's what he did all his life. He helped people straighten out their backs. But we're going to see, as haven't figured out yet, if we haven't figured out yet, we'll definitely see now that every one of these brachas represents something a little bit deeper. So right off the bat, one of the things that we know very well is the concept of that there are Yud Gimel Kurim of Amunah. The Yud Gimel things that every Jew is supposed to believe in. And one of them is Amunah B'Vias HaMashiach. And it says, as we know that in the Sefer Mitzvot the Smak, it says that one of the things you'll be asked after Misa, and one of the things, Sipas Yeshua, were you someone who wanted Yeshua? Were you someone that desired or was hoping for salvation? And we see, right, that there's a concept of a connection to the same way we believe in the reality of that I am God, the God that took us out of, I am your God that took you out of Mitzrayim. The same is true. The same way we know that is true, we believe that it's going to be Mashiach. So now what does this have to do with the bracha of Zaykev Kefufim, uprighting the bent over? Well, it's interesting. The Medrash of Tehillim says that since Yisrael was Golus, was exiled to Chutz Aretz, from the day that they were exiled from Yerushalayim, they were not able to stand upright properly. And they're so bent over. Why? Because of all the people that hate them. All the tragedies, all the attacks, all the things that have come against the Jewish people. And therefore, that we have not been able to, until we be redeemed, to be properly Zaykev Kefufim. And the Klei Yochas says and explains this, the Klei Yochas in Bereishis explains this on a deeper level, and it really helps us understand what Gullah says. And he says that any time that we are, let me give like the most simple analogy to this, in my mind at least, and we're going to get to, and we'll ascend on a deeper level. But if you ever see a person that does weightlifting, right? They do the real weightlifting, where they have to, you know, they're on the shoulders and they're gonna bend down, and they first bend down to go back up, right? So they're bending down. While they bend down, they crouch to put all the energy at once in the getting up. So most of our falls, most of our gullus, most of our being put down is always in the terms of to be brought up back upright, to be Zaykev Kefufim. Hashem should enable us, Hashem to save us from that and make us into a reality that to be better. As we see that Yaakov, when in the beginning when he was leaving, he had to run away from Esav, and he's running away and he doesn't know where he's going to be. So Hashem promised him Zarecha, Hayezarecha ka'ofer, Haaretz, his children will be like the offer of the land, where it's the dirt of the land. That's the low part of the land. But then afterwards, as he grows into his years, he grows and he creates a nation, Uparatsa Yama Ketema, right? They depart. He spread out all over the place. So the Yerida, the famous concept of a Yerida Tsarach La'aliyah, the famous concept of that sometimes we have to be kaifef in order to erect ourselves, in order for us to be brought up, is the concept, the bracha of Zaykev Kefufim. So when we give a bracha from Hashem, we thank Him for every day the opportunity to make ourselves upright, to bring ourselves back up. And if we had a bad day before, if we had a tough day before, or if we've been pushed down a little bit, that pushing down, we understand, is the, will give us the inertia and the energy to go back up and to straighten out. As the famous thing is that the tzaddik, seven times he falls and seven times he gets up. So it's not that, it's not a promise he's going to fall, but it's that, why is he a tzaddik? Because when he falls, he uses that fall to gain and create more power, more energy in its getting up. And so every opportunity that he takes, as every mistake or any issue that he had, he now takes an opportunity to launch himself to a higher level in his righteousness and his tzidkus and everything. The reasoner says on the pasuk, it's a very outstanding pasuk. On the tatsis panachem imena, and on the asis eitzis benafshim. Until when, you Hashem, are you going to hide your panach, your face from us? Until when will you, eitzis benafshim, will get the counsel that we need to for our soul? So first of all, obviously, tats there is always the concept of Esther, hasta upon him. Esther is Megillus Esther, Megala, to reveal Esther, which is Hester, is the hiddenness. So the pasuk saying is, Adon Atasis Panecha. So he says something very fascinating. He says, is that as long as you as a human being, as long as Klal Yisrael believes that they could come up with their own Eitzas, right? As long as there's still Eitzas in Lanashi, as long as there's still counsel in my own soul, as long as we say, you know what, if it would this be this, that, if I got this vaccine, if I got that, if I went to this place and I protected myself that way, as long as that's happening, Hashem says, Tasas Panecha. When Hashem reveals himself, when the man gets to the place, to the point of his reality, where he says, you know what, I don't really have an Eitzah. I don't really have an ability, a counselor to get out of this mess. The way I can get out of this mess? You know what? If Hashem reveals him. The moment we come to that recognition, Hashem reveals himself. So I'd honor Tast, I'd honor Tastir Spanecha. Until when he gets Tastir Spanecha? Until you as a human being says, you know what? I got this Hashem. Now it's not because Hashem doesn't want to help us before that. Hashem's been there the whole time. What we need to accomplish, we need to do is we need to take away our involvement, our need to be in control of things, our involved in getting up and everything. Many of us are burdened down by so many issues out there, and so many things that are challenging to us, and so many things that bother us. And it's true, that could be. But you know what the ultimate answer to that is? The ultimate answer is that let it go. There's always this great cartoon they show. It's like you see a guy and he's hunched over and he's burdened by all of his daigas, all of his worries, all of his concerns and everything. And then there's like a crane on top and says, and this picks it up and takes it off him. And he says, yes, if you carry this by yourself, if you carry it by yourself, you're going to be totally bent over. If you let me being Hashem, take it off, if you let me carry the things that I control, and you realize that the things that are out of your control, doesn't matter how many Eitzos and how great you are in them, how many things you're going to do. As long as you have Eitzos, Hashem says, you know what? You're still you. You still want it to be you. I won't help you. The moment you relieve yourself of the burden of doing it all by yourself. And this is true even fundamentally when you sometimes ask people for help, which sometimes takes a lot of courage from people, because people are so almost embarrassed to ask for people because it's a feeling of a lack on their part. But many times it's simply, if you just reach out to the next person and he helps you, the biggest relief is not even the helping of it. Of course, if you need something to be slapped, it helps. But more so the fact that someone's willing to help you, it relieves you. So Zaykev Kefuvim, as Hashem says, as long as you're in the reality of Kaifiv, and you're in the reality of like, you're going to take deal with this, I'm going to burden the load, I'm going to do it all by myself and everything, I can be Zaykev. The moment you're willing to say, you know what, I don't got this, I need you, Hashem, I need your help, that's when Hashem is no longer hast upon. You see this so clear in the Purim story, right? Klal Yisrael, you know, up to the point they thought they were comfortable in the land, they had politics, everything was good, and then all of a sudden there's a decree against them. So what's the only thing that saved them? The only thing that saved them is that they just turned to Hashem. They completely turned to Hashem. They had no other Eitzah. They were facing extinction. They're facing being totally, completely wiped out. So you know what happens? You know what happens when you get to a place of, so we look at this and say, If we look at ourselves and say we're dirt, that's ridiculous. We're not dirt. We're human beings and we have a lot to offer. But if we make ourselves like at the point that we need help, it's okay. After all, what are we? We're mere mortals. So we're asking a infinite God to help us out, right? When that happens, that's a bracha zeikah kufufim, right? That when a man is kula mechuna v'kofof, when you as a person is willing to bend down to Hashem, that innately is zeikah. That's innately what they're upright to you. This is perfect. This past week, we know that Moshe's yotzei was past Shabbos. We know Parsha Zachar. You know, the whole conversation about Moshe and everything, Moshe Anam Mekolotam, right? Moshe's greatness wasn't that he made himself small. On the contrary, he knew he was quite big. He knew what he was capable of. He knew what everything he did. But what his ability to do was is to take all of his tools and use it as a vessel to be Hashem, for Hashem's needs. So everything Moshe did was Moshe Avdai. Everything he did was what Hashem wants. I remember there's a story, I think Rav Simcha Wasserman told us this, that he told us a story that when the first time he went to go visit the Chavetz Chaim, his father, Rav Chana Wasserman, was a big Talmud, a big student of the Chavetz Chaim, and he was a young boy, and his father was bringing him to visit the Chavetz Chaim. He walked into the shul, and there was like this little man in the corner, and bent over, and there was this very like regal, glowing, you know, over the rub of the shoulder in the front. He runs right by the man and goes to the rub. And his father asked him, where'd you go? You ran past the Chavetz Chaim. And he didn't realize it was this person. It was this humble person sitting in the back of the shul. So he asked his father one time, he said, what was the Chavetz Chaim's nature? Like, what was he like? Was he like a, you know, a funny guy? Was he a serious guy? Was he calm? Was he angry? What was his? And the Rav Chana told him, he said, well, the Chavetz Chaim's nature was at the moment that Hashem needed to be, that's what he was. That's what it means to be, a Chana, to bend down. So when we bow down to Hashem, we don't bend down to ourselves. So many people walk around burdened and backaches and because of their own burdens. But when we machni ourselves to Hashem, what ends up happening was zaykev. So the reality is that we end up going upright and everything. This answers a question, right? Which is an interesting thing. What is the, like, why do we, in Shar Tshuva brings it down, the bracha of zaykev, it's a pillow, he says. What's the chiddush to the fact that we stand upright, right? To make a brach on that. I mean, the day we're born the day we're born, of course babies flop over, but we're created that way. We're created to stand upright. On the contrary, animals are bent over, but that's who we are. We stand straight up, and that's literally what happened. So what's this brach? Oh, you Hashem, you made me not like the animals. So I think, of course, of everything else on a deeper level is the concept is that it's not just that we made us be an animal. It's not like, oh, you're an animal and you're not an animal. It's that an animal's reality is it walks face down. It doesn't have the ability to look up above to anything more than itself. Its whole world is in front of him and how he walks and everything. The Gemara Bava Kama, I happened to learn it today, this morning, right? When it says that an animal that like, the Rishonim said the animal, if he looks up to get food, he goes upward in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's a weird thing. That's not his usual teva. That's not his desire. Right? Because a behema does not lift up his head. A behema has no reason to lift up his head. A behema doesn't have an neshama in its head. A behema doesn't have the reality to look up into the world and look up to Hashem. Right? As the Lacha says that when davening, if you lose kavanah, you should have windows in your shul, because you'd be able to look up and look up at Shem and re-engage your kavana. Right, as the pasuk, the Medrash says in Chayesar, Eina Chachma Eina Bereshit, right? The Indian of Chachma Eina Bereshit. The Indian of wisdom is that he has eyes in his head. What do you mean? An animal also has eyes, says. Yeah, but the eyes in the head of an animal is the same level of the rest of his body. Right, when you're bent over, your head and your bottoms are the same at the same level. There's nothing great about the fact that it's a man is able to be Zaykeh Kefufim. A man's able to raise up his head. He's able to say that his head, right, which has his brain, it has his neshama, it has his connection to Kash Baruch Hu, is something beyond. So Zaykeh Kefufim is a bracha of that we are. We're not animals that bent over, but we are up. But that bracha is the kara that there's something above us. It's the same thing. So we bend over machni ourselves sometimes to go up higher to Hashem. But also, we also give a bracha that we have the ability to look up. We have the ability to be zaykeh. And that's not just a physical, you know, reality that's, wow, great, we get to stand up and we can be up. It's the reality that we understand that we have we can recognize what's above us. We can recognize that this world is not controlled by everything that's in front of us. There's a bigger story, there's a bigger picture. What the Neiman Melech describes is that the ability to stop and look and see, right, that we could go all the way up. We have the ability to connect all the way up to Tachas Kisei Kavod. We go all the way up to Kisei Kavod to be right next to, right below the Kisei Kavod of Hashem. Our ability to be Zaykeh Kefufim is not limited by this ability that we're bend over and now we straighten out. We got to have a good adjustment. Our ability is to realize that we have the ability to be Zaykeh Kefufim ourselves to levels that are beyond. As we're going to see, and we've discussed this in the past, as the Mishnah in Chagiga says, there are six things that Bnei Israel, and the other is like Malchus Shars. I'm sorry. Three things that they're like a Malach, and three things are like Behemoth. What are the three things that they're like a malach? We'll talk about that now, right? Is one is the fact that they have das, right? The ability to think and have knowledge. One is that we walk upright. And the last one is they talk Lashon HaKodesh, which we talked about a different time. So what do we see here? That, and the Mashal and Bava Basra says an unbelievable thing. You know that the Razan Hashem is that he wants a man to become Kodesh Kimoy Amalach, as much as a Malach. Now, fundamentally, that if we become like a Malach, we actually are higher in Madrega than Malach. Because a Malach doesn't have a Bechira. Malach doesn't have a choice. But we have the ability in the physical body. Remember that body we talked about, the offer, that's just physical. And we say, oh, you know, sometimes we're going to fall and sometimes we're going to have to get back up and machni ourselves. Well, that same body has the ability to become like a Malach. He has the ability to get up to the level of a malach and stand upright, to stand with malachim. And the Mashal even says that's the whole Ratzon Hashem wants. Hashem created us for that. Right? That when we engage our ability, first of all, to have das, and ability to be upright like a malach, and we use, again, our talking, our deeper, our Lashon Kodesh, all over here. It's everything's going on in our heads, above us. That's that we connect to the Chelek Elyon. The Chelek is above us. The Chelek connects us all the way up to Shemayim. So, you want to know what the bracha of Zaykeh Kefufim, Baruch Atah Hashem, Zaykeh Kefufim, that Hashem made us that we're capable to be Zaykeh Kefufim, that, like a Malach. We can be Aymed and as high as a Malach. So that's Zaykeh Kefufim. That's the bracha of Zaykeh Kefufim. We have three concepts of Zaykeh Kefufim. We have one that's the reality of that sometimes we go down, and the down is to be able Hashem to pick us up, and we ourselves pick us up, Zaykeh Kefufim. We upright the bent. Obviously, that there's a physical reality of this when we're bent over and Hashem is Zaykeh us. That's a bracha. Also the fact that we have, the way we are built and the way we walk is that we are always looking upward. We have hasagas for more. We have wants to do more. And number three, Zaykeh Kefufim, is that we have the build to be like Zaykeh Kaimdi, like a Malach. That's the bracha when we say Zaykeh Kefufim. The next bracha that in the Birchas HaShacha is Rekeh Aretz Alamayim, right? Which is the bracha of that the land is Rekeh. It's settled on water. Now it's very interesting. Where does this bracha? Where did he get these words from? So if we know on Shabbos morning, Pesuk Zimra, we also say this in Agada, in Megillah, Agada in Pesach night. There's a bunch of Ki Loilam Chastas. So it says, Lerakeh Aretz Alamayim, Ki Loilam Chasta. So there's a tremendous chesed that happens because Hashem is rakeya. He makes sure that the land stays above the water. Now, you say, like, wow, I mean, isn't that what's supposed to happen? Well, the truth is, it's not really true. Water naturally would go everywhere. It's a phenomenon that it stops at the shore. And the proof of that it's a phenomenon is sometimes it doesn't, as we saw devastating in tsunamis that destroyed, you know, unbelievable amount of things, right? So, but why is this pasuk? Why is this a bracha kilam chasta? I mean, why there's 26 other kilam chastas in that? So there's a Ramah in the Torah of Ayla. The Ramah wrote a sefer. It's really more of like a machshava sefer, philosophical sefer, maybe even. And he says he's talking about, interesting enough, the concept of going to Tashla on Rosh Hashanah. So at least I know in Syria, we're a few days away from Purim, and which means we're Pesach is coming. So, you know, we still got Pesach to get through and Shavuot and Tisha B'Av and other stuff before we get to Rosh Hashanah. But the Ramah, I'm going to see the Ramah kind of sees that the pasuk L'Kei Ha'aretz Ha'Mayim has to do with our like what we feel on Rosh Hashanah, and it's the concept of water. I gave one time a long time ago a long shiur on the concept of water, but he says, what's the concept of water? So he says, why do we go to Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah? So we understand Rosh Hashanah is the day that Hashem created the world. And we also re-engage in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the manig of the world. He's the one that leads the world. And we other, but right, a phenomenon of that we could tap into, where we understand that Hashem is making sure that the world exists, is when we go to the sea, when we go to the water. Because naturally water it goes all over the place. Right? Water has the ability, it flows everywhere. The whole concept has to do with, we'll talk about this around Pesach time, Kriyas Yantzev, we're going to talk about it now also, but the concept of Kriyas Yantzev is that there's water has the ability to either flow everywhere, or it has the ability that if you put it into a cup, it takes on the form of whatever you put it into. So this fundamentally means what we call taiva, right? Desires are all over the place and we don't always control it well. So when we do chait, what we're saying by chait is that what happened with our chait, what happened when we did sin is that we let ourselves go. So we look at the water and we're gonna build this up in a minute. But we look at the water and we say the water controls itself and stays in its place, stays in its lane. So we also should. And we ask Hashem for forgiveness. And the Divrei Yoel brings this Ramah and says the reason why we make the bracha, Rakeya Arts Alamayim, right, is to always awaken us in the Muna of Bereshis. The Muna that Hashem created this world and his Gevurah, his borders, his structure, his din, however you want to say it, makes it that the water doesn't go over us. Right? Climate control from here to tomorrow, climate, right, issues and everything, right? It's the, you know, that the water, the ice cap's going to melt and everything, right? Akash Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. Well, you know, he understands that. The world, which we submerge water, we know that the mob will happen. When the mob will happen, all Hashem did was let the water reach. He just let the water go. So now, in the bracha Rakeya Arts Almayim, right? In that bracha, we're supposed to go back to what we, if you remember the times of night of Rosh Hashanah, right? You know when the chazans, there's the David Mizmar, and people like feel like a little bit of like a real seriousness in the thing, right? That's what we're talking about is a recognition of the Amuna and Avoda Ayira that comes with this bracha. Now, where does he get this from? Where does this get from? So, Rakeya Arutz Alamayim, the word Rakeya Arutz Alamayim, is saying to Gematria as Rosh Hashanah. So we make the bracha, Rakeya Arutz Alamayim, without the Vav, this, in case you're counting, Rakeya Arutz Alamayim, which is the way the Pasuk writes it, Rakeya, which Reish Kuf Ayin, is the same Gematria as Rosh Hashanah. And so our bracha is not that we should go back to Rosh Hashanah every single day. We should at least remember that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created it with a certain standards and a certain gvurah and a certain form and a certain discipline. that makes the water not go out. And we should tap into that also. Now, this is, as we talked about, is the concept of would Hashem show the world that he is involved? Everyone's very easy, very happy to believe that God created the world. They just want to say God created the world and he left. So what does that do with me today? But we believe that Hashem is manning the world. Hashem is not only created the world, but he's completely in control of the world. That's what the brachos were saying here. Every bracha we get up in the morning, we're saying, Hashem, you're involved on a daily basis on this stuff. So, l'raka aretz al mayim, right? Which is the pasuk in Tehillim, which we start off, l'raka aretz al mayim. So l'raka aretz al mayim is the same gematria as Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because the whole concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to remind you that l'raka aretz al mayim, that the land we exist on is because Hashem wants us to exist on the land. That Hashem is making sure the land sticks together and stays that we shouldn't. That Hashem is manning the world. Now, there's one more gematria, which fits into here, which means Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's worth it to know this also. Yetzias Mitzrayim, L'raka aretz mayim, is also the same gematria as Nasev and Ishma. Because the concept, how could we agree to Hashem to Nasev to do and then Nishma? Well, we could if we look at the world and we realize that our coexistence in this world is because Hashem wants it to happen. And he's making it happen. He's renewing every day and saying that, if the water got out of the way, it'd go all over the place. We'll see this. You know, there's a Naim Melech that says a beautiful thing. The pasuk says, "Bnei Yisrael halchu by Barsha b'Saychayon." Right? That they went on the dryness amongst the water. So what happened there? What happened there was, is that, that what happened was there was two things that happened in this situation. There was a reality of called that they were on dry land, but they also saw that the water was stand still. The water held itself together in a way that it shouldn't flow. Now we know that we say in the Halacha Yom Rav Yonas that the Yom Rav Yonas Hayadin, right, and the Yam went and saw and then Yonas didn't stop, and right. So we know that the Yam said, "Why should we split the sea? The Jews are worth anything? They over the Zohar and the Mitzrayim also have the Halo of the Zohar, Halo of the Zohar. They both have the Zohar. So why should it be special for this one?" So the Medrash says, they saw the atmos of Yosef. They saw the bones of Yosef. So what's the bones of Yosef? So we know what happened. What was one of Yosef's greatness as a tzaddik? He was tempted in by Potiphar's wife. And in essence, he should have let his body flow. That's the way, that's what taiva means. Desire means is we let it go. We let ourselves go. We let it be. And Yosef prevented that. Yosef stopped. So when the Yamsa said, wait, a man could prevent what's natural for the sake of God, that's worthwhile for us to stop what's natural for the sake of God. So now we see that the Yam Suf itself, and we're going to discuss a little bit more, the Yam Suf itself is going to be the statement of that there's a reality in this world, work out on mind. That the fact that we're on land right now and there's not water coming into our places, many of us might have had this experience with the peps frozen in our whole basement, come flooded with water. It's never fun. Water's most time not fun. The Gemara even says that even rain is such a bracha, people always curse out the rain when it comes because this is inconvenient. It's not geschmack and everything. But let's take this a step deeper. The Sefer Or HaChokhma says like this. There were two things that happened in Kriyas Yamsa, right? There was two things. There was the Klal Yisrael was saved and the Mitzrayim were drowned. There was, right? What happened there? Like what was the equation that happened that the Jews were saved and the Mitzrayim were destroyed? So what he says here is fascinating. He said it was dependent on what you were connected to. So if you were so, we know the Mitzrayim were very big Bali Taiva. They're very big. They were very physical. The whole body, they chased everything that was physical. Everything about them was physical. Right, so if you're physical, right, that means you're attached to the world. You're attached to what happens in this world. If your life is about what's going on in this world, and specifically this world, right, So then you are attaching yourself and you are mishabed yourself, you're indenturing yourself to the realities of this world. If you're all about the physical and all about this world, so then you get sucked in with the tide of this world. That's the water. Right? But if you're someone who is someone that like Yosef, who says, even though my desires, my taiva right now is to be with Potiphar's wife, but I understand when I saw the mus, I saw the image of my father, and I saw what I'm giving up for that, right? I'm willing to overcome that. So then what happens is you are attached to your vasha. What's your vasha? Your vasha is the safe ground. The water's stormy, but the ground itself is where you're safe. That's Klal Yisrael. They attach themselves to the dry, Yavasha is the word dry. Their taivas, their Olam Hazeh taivas were dry. It wasn't what attracted them. It's not what sucked them in. So they didn't get sucked into the water. They were on Yavasha. Cause they were able to almost, succumb or dry out the taivas. Because of that relationship, that's what Klal Yisrael has going for them. But if we engage, and it goes back to even Zaykik Fufim, if we engage in our physical realities, if we engage on how we want to control this world, if we only have a muna in the world of Olam Hazeh, in the world of the physical world, if that's where our desires and our taiva lie, so then we are koifef. We end up being burdened, and Hashem is not being zayik of us. We also will not be in a reality of our keir arutz ha'mayim. But if we hold back the water, if we engage in the land, and arutz by the means of rutzen, arutz is the same root as rutzen. If our want, our will is to be attached to rakeya arutz, alamayim, then we want the land to be on top of the water. We push back what's called the water, the taiva and everything. Now, by the way, there's a good taiva called water, which is taira. But in the bad taiva, if we hold on to what's the dry land, the safe spot, the safe areas of Olam Hazeh, you know what the safe spot of Olam Hazeh is? When we don't get washed away by the philosophies of the world, we don't get drowned in the fashion and in the taivas of this world, but we create our own yavasha. So what happens is like we make a bracha of keirat alamayim. We actually it's a phenomenal thing you think about. We are actually holding together the land, preventing the water from overcoming us. When we don't do that, when we let the mayim rabim, what's the concept of mayim rabim in like a klipa almost, in a lot of water overcome us, a ruchnius, rabim, then what's rabim? Rabim is the Rosh Hashanah of Rome, Bavel, Yavin, Madai. Then the rest of the world comes and destroys it. It overcomes us. It attacks us. We get literally drowned in our own doings. We have no way to block it. By the way, this time in Thailand that happened, I don't know if you know anything about Thailand, but it's one of the worst places in the world when it comes to Avodah Zarah and Gila Arayas. They mamish have anything goes there, right? It's not by accident. That's where it happened. So now your vasha creates you, and you could be on a safe place. The bracha of keirat alamayim is that, you know what, Hashem, when I control, when my ratzon, my oritz, who I am, my land holds out the water, holds out the taivas that are going to overcome me, overwhelm me, you know what happens? You know why that happens? It's because I'm Zaykir Kafufim. Because even when I'm down, even when I'm burdened, I'm gonna use that being pushed down to reach up to you, Hashem. I'm gonna put my hand up and look up to my head and say, Zaykir Kafufim, bring me up to you, Hashem. Understand that with you, I could be your vasha. I could prevent the water from overcoming. The bracha of Akel Tamayim is that I understand that my borders and my line stops here. It was interesting. I was talking to someone about a more secular crowd, and we're talking about many of them are very, they want to have a connection to the Orthodox world. And one of the things that I find that they want, even if they, and I don't mean this as a bad thing. I don't think it's contradictory for them, because I don't know that they understand this well enough to understand it's contradictory. But even if they themselves are not religious observant at this point, but they still always looking, and this is true by the call of many people we learn with, they want to learn with someone, they want to be the religious interaction with someone who's holding the line for them. I don't know if you've ever had to hear that experience, but I've heard experiences like, you know, they get more offended that when an Orthodox Jew does something. You know why? Why is that so? Why? The Orthodox Jew is you know, human like everyone else. No, but not because he should know better. He should know better. But more than that, that's the line. That's the holding the line. That's what keeps the water from overflowing on us. Who's holding the line? Right. If you don't have someone holding your line for you, and that's the most important thing of being a rabbi, of having a rabbi and having rebbeim and having teachers, is that if you don't have someone holding the line, the line moves very quickly. We've seen this many times over and over again. So, and then the tivus of the world and the influence of the world quickly overwhelm us, almost drown us. So when we have a place of yavasha, when we are able to put our feet down on yavasha, betocha yam, even though the water is swirling all around us, but you have your vasha. You know what you'll never have when you want to connect? You'll never have yish. You'll never give up. Because you it's in your hands to hold back the water. By your connection to God, by you being psychic to fufu, by looking up to Hashem and saying, bring me up. But by recognizing ki lam chasa that the rock also mayim is the aspect of that. That my taivas, with the help of Hashem, I could hold back and I could make a safe space, a real safe space, yavasha. So then you'll never have yish. We know how bad yish is. And yavasha is the same gematria as yish. Because yavasha is the, when you find your safe space, when you find your place with Hashem, you find the place that where you have the boundaries are clear and you understand what you could do, what you can't do. When that moment, you make a tremendous bracha, a keor to Amayim, that I understand that my land, my ratzon, is to be over here, and the tivus and the waters are over there. When we accomplish that, then what we actually do is we make a bracha, what's called bracha yishav adas. If you want to know, if someone asks you, what's the bracha of keor to Amayim? The bracha is that I could be yishav adas. I could be calm in my thinking and calm in who I am. Right, as we know, when you're on a plane or on a boat and it's rocking and this and that, it's very hard to be settled. When you get your feet on the ground, right? When your feet are on the ground and you know you're not moving anymore, that's when you have a sense of security. So when you do that in the spiritual world too, when I can put my feet down in Yavasha and not be drowned out by the world out there, the world of Taiva, the world of physicality, the world of Gashmias and world of immorality. When I finally get back to my Yavasha, and as a man, Yavasha a lot of times is in your base matters, in your shul, or wherever we get to sit and learn, something like that. When you have Yisha Adaf, that's the Bacha Rokeh Arts of Mayim. So we're going a little bit more global here in this Bacha. We're not just saying it's true that there's a physical reality of both Zogar Kafufim when you have a bad back and you get straightened up, it's a big bracha, and Keor Tamayim, that the water doesn't overwhelm us. But on a much deeper level, this is who we are, this is our Muna, this is how we approach Taiva and everything. It's a tremendous, amazing thing. Everyone should have a wonderful Purim. Have a great night.